Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Sunday Morning Breakfast, Sunday Morning Inspirational Call. And we are talking about or continuing on with our discussion on distractions be gone. So happy Sunday. Hope everyone is up, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, and focused. This is something that we talked a lot about on Wednesday, how we have to fix our focus. We have to set our face, if you will, because Satan is going to use the very thing that he knows that we're attracted to in the flesh. He knows the things that we like. A lot of times we tell him all about it. We make him all aware about those things without even realizing it. So it's important that we fix our focus, and we should be mindful of the path that we're taking so that, you know, we're walking in the steps that are ordered and set by God. So, you know, there's so many distractions that are presented to us, and we even touched on how we can be a distraction. So just looking at it from both ways, from different perspectives, and all of that can cause us to veer off of the path that God has designed for us. You know, so how do we fix our focus? How do we get back to a place where we are focused on God? We are walking the straight and narrow. We are also helping others to, you know, get to a place where they can be focused, where they can no longer be the distraction. And even in the midst of distractions, how do we just continue to walk in obedience? You know, because when we're distracted, a lot of times our focus is not there. It's not where it needs to be. And we begin to lean to our own understanding, operate according to our own agendas, to the things that we have set in place to have happen. And we no longer focus on what it is that God would have us to do. And, you know, it creates havoc in our lives. And it gets us to a place where we're no longer operating in our purpose, walking in the will that God has for our life. So, again, distractions be gone, and we're going to continue to, you know, just really see what it is that God would have us to do and how he would have us to do that, you know, as it pertains to walking upright and boldly for him and being, you know, bold in our faith. So at this time, we would like to welcome in our leader, Mr. Talia Carr. Good morning, Mr. Carr.
Good morning, Ms. Lasagne.
How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing wonderful. Yourself?
I'm doing wonderful as well. Thank you.
Okay. Open us up with prayer, please.
Our Father and our God, we come before you on this morning to say thank you. We thank you, dear Lord, for just allowing us to come together on this morning so that we can just receive of you and receive of your word on this morning. We thank you for this gift of life, dear God, and we thank you for your word that continues to lead and guide us. Dear Father, we ask that you will just help us to continue to be receptive to you and all that you would have us to do so that we can walk in obedience and continue to submit our lives to you. We thank you for this ministry, dear God, and we thank you for our leader on this morning. We ask that you would just continue to cover us all, continue to spread your love, dear God, so that we can spread your love in the same way. We pray and ask all these things in the precious name of your darling son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Distractions, be gone. The Bible says, do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. Deception is a distraction. Do you know that? Do not be deceived. Because bad company corrupts good manners. Those who house bad spirits, it corrupts the good manners within. Y'all heard me?
Yes, sir.
Do not be deceived. And it came to pass I love this scripture, you know. When the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. I love it. I love it. I love it. But that was powerful, right, in Luke?
Yes. Yes, it was.
Had a man that said, I got to go bury my father. Is that something?
Yes.
That's amazing. Listen to what Jesus said in verse 54. And when his disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? That's when they didn't receive Jesus. The Samaritans. So they was asking God to destroy them, James and John. But Jesus turned to them and rebuked them. And he said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are. In other words, y'all don't even know what you're operating in. In other words, Jesus didn't let them tell him. In other words, you ever notice how when you're walking in the things of God and, you know, people tell you what it is and you tell them what it is and so forth and so on, huh? You see how Jesus rebuked them? The reason why Jesus rebuked them, because they were the distraction. But he eliminated it by rebuking them. Rebuke is a strong correction that says, sin, I have authority over you, and I have called you out. Yes. Anybody understand that?
Yes,
you know that's
sir.
What rebuke is. It's a strong correction. To correct something means it wasn't walking straight, it wasn't walking upright, it was slumped over. Correction is a brace. It is a catalyst that says, I'm going to straighten you up because you're crooked. In other words, you can't distract me. He corrects his own disciples. They thought they had it going on because they didn't see. At the very thought of what they did, he corrected them, because that could have been a distraction. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth shall flow. What came out through their lips? In other words, the Holy Spirit did not consume them, right?
Right.
And when the Holy Spirit doesn't consume us, distractions just run all rapid in and throughout our thoughts, our lifestyle, our words, the way we live.
Yeah.
Then Jesus went on to say, for the Son of Man is not come. I'm talking about Luke, y'all. This is Luke chapter 9, 51 through 62. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Ain't that something?
Yes, sir.
And a man who said, I'll follow you wherever you go, Jesus. And he said to that man, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Yes, sir. Then another man said, Jesus, I'm going to follow you, but first let me go bury my father. And Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. But go. And when you go, preach heaven to them. Preach the kingdom of God. And another man said, I'll follow you, but first let me go, you know, tell my family I'm gone. And Jesus said to that man, nobody, having put their hand to work, to the plow, and looking back, it's fit. In other words, don't start and stop and start and stop and don't start and stop. In other words, look at all the distractions that he listed. But do understand, do not be deceived, do not be distracted, be pulled in by the sedidity of the world. Because it's very sedidity. Fine. Articulate even. Got it going on, so they think. Don't be deceived. Mm-hmm. Bad company corrupts good manners. Better rebuke it. The thing is, can you see it? You call it out as a distraction? Because a lot of people don't think that it's a distraction. You know, think about it for a second. Someone who works the pole at a club don't think that they're a distraction. They think that they're just doing their job. But remember, the Bible says, lean not unto thy own understanding.
Right.
In other words, the only way that you can call a distraction out is that you have the mind of Christ. Then you start to develop called discernment. And when you have discernment, you can decipher what is from God and what isn't. You can decipher what thought is from God, what lifestyle is from what words are from God. You can discern all this. Huh? But do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good manners. If you have two people that are not walking towards God, and the Bible says, you know, how can two walk together unless they be in agreement? Of course they're not going to view it as a distraction, but they put everything else before God. We do it all the time, people, and we think it's okay. It's just mighty, mighty, mighty funny that when we come upon life and life's hurdles, that when we need God, we can't even go to God on our own behalf. Remember the relationship that we said we once had? Well, since we have such a great relationship, you know, how is it that we were so easily distracted in and throughout life? In other words, if the relationship was so strong, why you can't speak the things of God into existence?
Amen.
Why are we so frail? Have we been distracted by our own deceit and lies to ourselves? Have we? In other words, they have a form of godliness, the Bible says, but they deny my power. You know that their denial comes through distractions that they allow. Don't you know that you can also create your own distractions? It's called stubbornness. Stubbornness says, I see it my way, not God's. And I'm going to stick to my story. Did y'all need me to define that again?
Yes, sir.
But stubbornness does not lead to growth. It actually leads to death. Did you know that?
Indeed.
Look. Definition of the word distraction, y'all. Since we say distractions be gone, let's call it a distraction what it is. Because, see, we don't think that certain things are a distraction, especially if we don't have the mindset of Christ. How would we know what a distraction is? To Satan, sin is good. To God, sin is horrible. Remember, his thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. So we wouldn't view it as a distraction, right? The little things that happen in life, right? We don't view it as a distraction, but God does. Do you not understand? Listen to me and hear me good. That when God gives an assignment, and if you can't complete it, it's called a distraction. God allows distractions to show you the x-ray of your heart. God allows distractions in your life. Because, see, if I have my mind fixated on getting married, Latanya, there's nothing that can come about. No finances, no anything else that can stop me from getting married. However, to the one who is easily distracted, that means your mind was never set on being married. It was just a thing of you just going through the motions. You know, when it starts to rain and you don't go to work, that means somebody wasn't grinding. When it rained and you don't go to church, that means somebody wasn't in the Word of God. But even in the rain, sleet, or snow, when you are focused and fixed on the Word of God, I don't care what happened, flat tire, anything, I'm going to church. Ain't that
something? Yes, it is.
God would allow distractions to show you the nature of your heart. Somebody said, Mr. Carr, I don't agree. Tell you what, let's say you won the lottery. Let's say that lottery was $200 million. Let's say you got one day to pick it up. Let's say your plane was delayed. I guarantee you find a way to get there. Get that money.
Now,
if you chase money like that with no distractions, why you ain't chasing God like that? Now, see, chasing God don't mean that you're physically chasing him. It means that you're chasing everything that God has put on your plate to grab. That means you become a man or a woman of your word. If you say you're going to do it, you do it with no distractions.
Yes.
So for us to not complete the task at hand, what distracted us? I love it, though.
Yeah.
Y'all follow me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, let's look at the word distraction right quick, because I need everybody to know what we're talking about when we talk about distractions be gone. Distraction is a thing that prevents someone from giving full. That's what it say. Full, not half. Full attention to something else. It's an interruption, it's a disturbance, it's interference, it's hindrance, it's diversion. A distraction is a thing that prevents someone from giving full attention to something else.
Yes.
Now, that's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So what is stopping you from giving full attention to God? Your aches and pain? I know in my Bible it says, for every temptation, you know, God gives a way out.
That's right.
So for every potential distraction, we have righteousness that can bail us out if we choose to take it.
Amen.
Did y'all know that?
Yes, sir.
But we get easily distracted. And if I don't, and I don't know if y'all, what they call it, ADD? Attention deficit disorder? Okay,
yes.
Cool. So what happens is, the younger we are in Christ, the easier it is to get our attention away from God. All you'll do is snap your hand, blow in your ear, colorful things, wave around. But as we mature in Christ, we start to set our face on a mark. The reason why we miss the mark is because we're distracted. When you focus this on something, don't you know you hit it quite often, quite frequently? You hit the mark.
Yeah. Yeah,
to miss
sir.
The mark means to operate in sin when you miss the mark. You ever seen somebody put a can on top of their head? The other person got a little play BB gun or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the person with that can on top of their head got to trust the person with the gun in their hand. In other words, that person can't be distracted. Listen to me and listen to me good. If you had to split yourself in half, you the shooter and you the one with the can on your head, would you allow yourself to shoot that can off your head knowing that it can be lethal?
No, sir.
See how that go?
Mm.
I ain't talking about the fact that you can shoot a gun. Let's just say, for instance, the gun that you're using, it's called obedience towards God. So obedience comes in the form of eliminating distractions. Now, let's say that gun is called obedience towards God. Do you have a good aim or what?
No.
How your aim look? Now, you the one shooting and you the one with the can on top of your hand. you can trust yourself?
Yes, Lord.
Can you? It gets real, people.
Yeah.
How easily distracted. And then we have this premonition that, you know, we're not distracted because we think that we can multitask. Well, women, don't you ever get mad at a man who's multitasking different women. In other words, just because he'll say, well, baby, I do love you. Yeah, he loves you and everybody else. What they call it, poly something? Cool. Yeah. Huh? So you shouldn't get mad, right? I got to tell the truth. I got to tell it. Fellas, you get mad for loving you and somebody else and other people too. Because we can multitask. We play that same game with God, and we don't think that is a distraction. We think that we can serve two masters. In other words, we can serve God and our job. We can serve God and ourselves. First of all, I'm not serving God and my job. because I'm not easily distracted. I am going to serve God, and the way I serve God is by working through my job. But when this is how you know, now watch this. A lot of people say, amen. But this is how I'm going to put your faith test, your commitment check, test to the test. I'm commitment level of commitment to the test. Now watch this. If that be the case, when God say stop, when God say move around, when God say put him first, why then we just said we put God in, you know, we can multitask. But God come first, right? How God come first and you don't know God, but you know your job?
Okay.
I'm going to set that right there.
Yes.
So that's, you're not easily distracted? You know your kids can be a distraction. Here's the thing, though. The kids are not the problem. The responsibility, the onus is on the one who's supposed to be the mature. To whom much is given, so you're a parent. Parenthood is a responsibility. The kids can be a distraction, but they are not the problem. Distractions come by way of the one who owns them. You own the distraction, so you also have the right to say, head on, you my child, you know, you're not the problem, I'm the problem when I allow you to go before God, when I put you above everything else. So don't get mad at the child, get mad at yourself, because you can have children, i.e. God, because we're children of God. He has more children than anybody, and he's not distracted.
Amen. Yes, yeah, sir.
Don't say that the children are the problem. Don't get mad at premarital sex, because that ain't the distraction. The distraction lies on the one who's being tempted. In other words, you have the right to put premarital sex in its place. Don't get mad at the devil and say the devil made me do it. No, he ain't make you do nothing. Because to make means to force. He can't force you because God can't force you. You have a free will. God stated that clearly. We have a free will, people. A free will means it's not forced. That means it's a choice.
Right.
So don't get mad at the distraction. Get mad at the one who owns it. In other words, you have the right to tell distractions, chill out. I'm not playing with you. But see, distractions literally reveal where we are in God. Think about it. Somebody who's fixated on the relationship is not easily distracted by anything. That means they're going to do what they said they was going to do. But do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good manners. Or good morals. In other words, you start acting like the people who are around you. If they're not in God, distractions become your norm, and it's no longer called a distraction because everybody else is doing it. It's the motto.
Yes.
There were some prominent things that was going on in the Bible, people. One said, let me bury my father. One said, let me go tell my people. Y'all saw it, right?
Yes.
That's what they said in Luke.
Yes, sir.
And another one said, I'm going to follow you wherever you go. Jesus said, hold on now. I don't have no rest. In other words, Jesus wasn't easily distracted. Even when distractions tried to overtake Jesus. Remember, God, will you pass this bitter cup from me? Jesus got his mind together and said, Father, let thy will be done.
Yes.
Ain't that something?
It is.
And then we got to be careful, because the more we believe in the distraction, the less we believe in the Lord. Let me say it again. You got to be careful. The more you believe in the distraction, the less you believe in God, the Lord. And what happens is you will start to argue with the person who's bringing the Lord, because you view your distraction as your master. Because the distraction would not reveal or expose itself. If you can't do it, what makes you think it will? In other words, have you ever seen a woman, Have you ever seen a woman, the side woman, dating a married man? She don't think she's a distraction. He don't think she's a distraction. But the wife does.
Right.
Now, somebody wrong and somebody right. The wife who's being cheated on, she says a distraction. But she's not so much mad at the other woman as she is her husband. Because the distraction cannot overtake you unless you give it keys.
Right.
He don't see it as a distraction. The other woman definitely don't see it as a distraction. They see it as the norm. Ain't that something? Well, if that's a scenario with that, what about us in our relationship marriage to God? When anything else takes our attention, our full attention away from God, do you, spouse, see that as a distraction when you're spending time with anything other than God? And before you say, ain't nothing wrong with that, be careful of your words. Is this the reason why you're reaping what you're sowing? Or my relationship was good. Good and godly are two totally different things. Be careful of your words. Because, see, when people start splitting time with you, you shouldn't be mad and don't say it's a distraction. If God doesn't have your full attention, your undivided attention, if he don't have it, that means distractions have consumed you.
Yes, amen. Trust,
we can live in a world full of distractions and not even know that we are sinking in it. You do understand that?
Oh, yes. Yes, indeed.
And please don't get it confused and say, but God still got his hand on me and he's still blessing me. The Bible reigns on the just as well as the unjust, the justified as well as the unjustified. In other words, those who fulfill his word and those who don't, he reigns on them both. You know that?
Yes, sir.
So don't think that your blessing is an indication of your position and your stance in God. You're distracted. You're distracted by what you receive when you're not receiving the right thing. Oh, yeah, I'm going to go there. Because if you weren't easily distracted, why are you not full of the word of God? Remember, he said, my cup runneth over. My cup runneth over. Y'all know what God is saying? We are his cup. The word of God, didn't he tell his people, his homeboys, when his mama, he said, woman, I'm not ready for this. This is not yet my time. Remember at the feast, the wedding feast?
Yeah.
He told them to go get what? Water. And he turned it into what? Wine. Y'all not catching that. Listen, the water was indicative of the word of God. No more distractions. Go get the water. And he turned it into what? Wine. And what was wine indicative of? The blood. Whew. Now, see, what happens is, if my cup runneth over, the word of God, you and I, should be full of God's word. But we cap ourselves off because what? Distractions. Why are you not full of the word of God? Because if you was full of the word of God, why then is it not running over out of your mouth? From the abundance of the word of God, the mouth shall, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth shall flow. If you are God's cup, then why is not the word seeping out of your mouth? Why is distraction? See, it can't seep out when distractions has limited from coming in. You put that top and that lid and said, I don't want no more. Because if our whole full attention was on the word of God, do you not understand? Y'all want to hear something? Let me show y'all. But see, when you're not easily distracted, you don't let people get in your ears. That's your faith. You understand? I heard somebody tell me. Now, you're not one of those healthy fit nuts, right? You're not one of the type that, you know, just eat everything right. Now, this is an individual, and I pointed the spirit out just like that. I just listened, and boy, I came, see, you're not going to try and burn down my house, and old afraid me just going to try and run over your mailbox. I don't play them games. You try and burn down mine, I'm telling you what I'm about to do. What they call that, a tiki torch, I'm about to burn down yours. Your neighbor better watch out, too. You go for my mailbox, I'm going to run over you. You see, it's not tip for tap. I'm just showing y'all something spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, I know when Satan's swinging, and I know how to swing back. How all of a sudden, watch the distraction, how all of a sudden eating healthy and being healthy is a negative thing and doing the wrong thing, eating bad, is positive. Now watch that. If I use that analogy for fitness, y'all want to hear something else? Look at the distraction.
Yes, sir.
You're not one of them people who, they just bust the church down when the church doors open. Well, see, that can be a negative thing if they're not doing it the right way. But watch this. Don't let that distract you. Because some people will tell you, you don't have to know it because they got a lot of people that know the word of God and ain't living right. And they got a lot of people going to hell, too. And I ain't going to be one of them. So just because they did it that way, they don't mean that I'm going to do it this way. Yes, I'm in God. Yes, I talk about God all day. Yes, I read on God. It's so funny because when you go through whatever you go through, you go to the people who know God, huh? because you don't know him. I thought you had a one-on-one relationship with God. So why do you need to go to somebody else on something you already have a relationship with? Lying? That old lying demon spirit. You know why? Because that lying demon spirit is a distraction, if it can be, if you don't expose it. Now all of a sudden, to do the right thing is a bad thing. Eating healthy is bad. You're not one of those health freaks. I said, lady, listen to this. I sure did. I ain't lying to y'all. I'm telling y'all the truth. I said, I do it for health reasons. You know, I know my family history and things like that. And it's just something that I love to do. Not that I got to explain it to you, but you make your decisions on your own.
Yeah.
I don't force what I eat on nobody. But I'm not going to let nobody force what they eat on me either. See, I'm not easily distracted.
Amen.
If I love salad, I love salad. You can frown at me all you want to. I don't go eat at them places that you eat at. Fine. You do what you want to do with your time. That's your life. Why are you mad at me? But I'm not easily distracted. You may call it corny. I call it healthy. We're going to see which one has.
Okay. That's right.
Yeah. Distractions, right? And be the first one in somebody's, oh, my loved one, my loved. But look at the buildup. How did they get to that point? What you consume, you are what you eat, huh?
Yes, sir.
We can't discipline our body, let alone our spirit, because we're easily distracted. We don't want to eat what's healthy in God. We want to eat what tastes good in God. In other words, we want things that benefit us, our flesh, and not what things will benefit our spirit. When you are fully committed on God and he has your full attention, it doesn't matter how the world tastes. We just know that it's healthy for us. It don't matter the fact that God said, pray for those. See, that don't taste good. Pray for those who despitefully use you. That don't taste good. Love your neighbor like you love yourself. That don't taste good. Put others above yourself. Highly esteem others before you esteem me. That don't taste good. But it is good. So we not, see, when we in God, we're not easily distracted. But when we get little babies, we don't want what is good. We want what tastes good. This is how we know our maturity level. How quickly, how easily are you distracted? Your job got your attention? Cool. There you go, right there. Well, my job don't got my attention, Mr. Carr. Now, watch this. You can tell me more about your job than your God. Your job got your attention. And I ain't talking about you just rambling off the top of your head. Tell me, thus said the Lord. Talk to me.
Amen.
Well, what they got to do with it? You don't got to know the word of God. How you got a relationship with somebody you don't know? You spend more time on it and then get mad at the people who text you. Talk about, is this going to be a texting relationship? Or is it going to be a full, real relationship? Full meaning undistracted relationship. That means I hear your voice. But do you hear God's voice?
Yeah.
We have gotten so consumed with texting, right? In other words, texting is like praying. Praying ain't nothing wrong with praying. Don't get it twisted. Ain't nothing wrong with texting either. But there comes a time when you got to pick up the phone and have a face-to-face, phone-to-phone interaction with your God. Why are you so easily distracted? And then we even got to the point to where we got two phones, right? Like Kevin Gates, two phones. Two personalities, two different lifestyles. We got our church person, then we got our Monday through Saturday person, because we're easily distracted, because that's what looked good, and everybody else do it, so we're going to have two phones, two lifestyles as well, because we're easily distracted.
Yeah, sir.
We can't commit to nothing, let alone God, right? Because commitment says, you have all of my attention. And we have yet to mature to know that God can have our attention through our relationships, whether it be through our finances, whether it be through our relationship with our family. God can still have you. Didn't he look at Peter and say, Satan, get behind me?
Yes.
In other words, I can look at LaTanya and say, I'm still fixated on God. I'm not distracted, because the way I have a relationship with her is because of God, and I see God in her.
Amen.
Even if she don't see God in herself, even if nobody else don't see God in you, I see God in you. This is why the Bible says, work as if you're working unto God. So the job is not the problem. It's where you put your attention in the job. That's the problem. I don't focus on chasing money. I'm going to say this, and I might drive some people off the phone. Good, because they didn't need to be here no way. I do not ever in my life, never will I, chase money. I don't chase money. I chase God. See, when you chase God, you're not easily distracted. In other words, money starts to chase me. I don't chase money. And I tell money where to go. Money, hey, I need you to go right here. Yeah, go right there and pay that right now. Oh, yeah, that's how I talk to money. I don't chase it. I ain't chasing no bag. I'm chasing something called eternity. I'm not easily distracted by popular words. People are prisoners of the moment. In other words, you're only chasing it because everybody else did, right? That's in your nature, right? Oh, but you're going to serve one, right, and not the other, right? You better not be easily distracted. I never have and never will chase money. Now, the reason why I said that was going to get some people off the phone, because some people don't like that type of message, but you can't take it with you, and I ain't taking it back, because I'm not easily distracted. If God didn't chase it, I won't chase it. How about that?
Amen. Yes, sir.
Huh? Yeah. You got to put it out there. You know, because some women don't like that. Oh, I don't like a man who ain't about his business. He about his garlic business. But until you mature, you will never understand that, because you're easily distracted by the green. And this is why we go through a roller coaster ride of ups and downs. We said he was a good man, but was he a godly man? See, you distracted by what he naturally can offer you, not what he spiritually can offer you. So you distracted by what you naturally possess every curve, but spiritually she don't have no curve. She's flat as an iron board. You're distracted by the wrong thing.
Yeah.
When God has your full attention, that's why the Bible said if you abide in God and he abides in you, you can ask for whatever you want. The thing is, we don't understand that distractions keep us from abiding in God. Abiding in God? Oh, that means to do whatever he say. Huh? That means to follow his every command. Well, that's a lot of commands. You also got a lot of responsibilities at your job, and to whom much is given and much is required at your job. So the higher up you go on the chain, the more you know, right?
Right.
There's levels to this. And as you go higher, the distraction is going to get greater.
Oh, yes.
But the listen, the distraction get greater, but the commitment level should get greater, too. Your attention should be really fixed in and focused on the task at hand. That means I didn't come down here to play. I came down here to do the word of God. So when I abide in God and God abide in me, watch this. What happens is, me asking for whatever I want and I get it, it comes by way of me asking God the very words that he told me to use. See, you can't remind God of something that you don't live. It's hard to remind something of somebody. Listen, y'all. It's hard to remind somebody of things that you don't actually live out or enact every day. Because distractions. Right now, if I told you to tell me your life history, I bet you can be on this phone 3, 4, 5 days telling me your life history. You know why? Because you lived it out. It's called your experience. It's hard to remind God of his word when you don't live his word. Did he say don't be just hearers, but doers? We hear the word of God, but we do it. Why don't we do it? What distracted us? What distracted us from doing it? We heard it, and we heard it good. But something came and swooped that seed up. You allow something. The Bible says to hide the word in your heart. And then he says, protect your heart. But somebody foolishly thought he was talking about protecting your emotions. Don't let nobody hurt you. To hide the word in your heart and then to protect your heart, guess what he's telling you to do? He's telling you to protect his word because he is his word. My God, somebody's being distracted so easily that they think he's talking about protect my emotions, protect me. Don't let nobody mess over me. No, he's saying don't let nobody mess over his word. Lord, have mercy. Miss LaTanya. If you got a car, Ms. LaTanya, and I put $10,000 in your trunk, in the spare tire in your trunk, Ms. LaTanya, when I say hide the $10,000 in your trunk, in the spare tire, and I come back and say, Ms. LaTanya, now protect the trunk, I ain't telling you to protect the trunk because you got Walmart groceries in there. I'm telling you to protect the trunk because I got $10,000 invested in there.
Yes, sir.
And we're so easily distracted and gullible with these simpleton thoughts. Simpleton was what the Bible calls him.
Right.
This is, yeah, I'm challenging you. Simpleton. When he say hide the word in your heart, and then he say guard your heart, he's telling you to protect his word, not your emotions.
Amen.
Now, if you think he's talking about your emotions, Why does he play them like a fiddle? He would destroy them. Hence, he said, lean not to your own understanding. Oh, I'm sorry. If you're not easily distracted, you know that lean to your own understanding means don't lean to your own thoughts or your own emotions. So he destroys them.
Yes, he does.
He tells you to crucify your flesh on a daily. He destroys them again. He's not telling you to hide the word in that spare tire in the trunk and then for you to, you know, protect the trunk because all your other little goodies. He's telling you to protect the trunk because what he has invested in you.
Yeah.
He's telling you to hide the word in your heart. He's telling you to guard your heart because he don't want the devil to strip you of the word. My goodness. When we're easily distracted, we don't even catch stuff like that, do we?
Right.
Because how can you be fully invested in something that you don't understand? Because
right.
If we understood that, that means it had our undivided attention. Mm-hmm. The more you look at stuff, the longer you dwell in it, you start to begin, you know, look at it now. When you first get your new phone, come on, people. Anybody get a new phone don't read instructions? I don't. I don't be reading. My bad. I slap on my wrist. Huh? The reason I'm bringing this up, we're not easily distracted, right? Distractions be gone. Watch this. Okay, the reason why I'm bringing this up is because some things in life, a lot of things in life, majority of things in life, you can pretty much say all things in life. Watch this. Just like this cell phone. You might not need to read the instructions, but the longer you're around it, don't you start figuring stuff out?
Yes. Oh, yes.
So how is it that we in God and we're not figuring it out? Even if you didn't read the word of God, if you was in God, certain things you would be figuring out by now. Woo! Lord, have mercy.
Yes, sir.
I'm trying to tell somebody something. Huh? Oh, I'm trying to tell somebody something. Huh? Distractions be gone, right? Huh?
Right.
Don't be deceived when people talk about, well, you don't have to be. That's because they're not around it. Come on. Parents. Any parents out there? Good. Come on, parents. You'd be the first one that said, kids don't come with instruction manuals. Don't do they? In other words, you have to experience them. In other words, just like my cell phone, it's just like your kids. The longer you're around them, the more you begin to know them. See, if that be the case with these natural things, the longer you're around God, the more you begin to know God. In other words, you got to be in God to start to know him. See, distractions come by way of this. Distractions come by way of us being buffoonery or trying to fool somebody. Or I'm in God, or I love God, or I believe in God. You can only distract yourself and somebody who don't know God. Or somebody who has the same lifestyle. But to the person who has put their hand to the plow, they know what it is to be in God. Although I may not have it all down articulated, right? I'm in God enough to know this. I know what it is to fix my focus on God and not to turn away. Because even when you F-A-S-T, fast in God, watch this. That means I have no distractions. Food can become a distraction. I don't want nothing. I want my flesh to cringe, but my spirit to grow. See, when you fixated on God, some things change.
Mm.
Huh? Some things change. Mm-hmm. It ain't just your verbiage. It's your lifestyle. It changes. Other than that, you're a distraction. Okay? Just like whatever has distracted you, you become it. You become a distraction for other people who are weak. And the Bible says, woe to them who cause one of my little ones to stumble. In other words, I would suggest if you're going to be a distraction to yourself and not others. Do not cause one of God's little ones to stumble because you're a distraction and you ain't even know it.
Amen.
You start following your ways as opposed to God's ways. In other words, you asking a fool, so you're a distraction for the word of God. And I do believe that anything that distracts God's blood flow through the rest of his body, he will eliminate. I don't want to be careful with that. Let us go ahead and pray, Mr. Thomas.
Our Father and our God, we come before you on this morning to say thank you once again, dear Lord. We thank you, Father, for just allowing us to be open and receptive so that we could receive of you, dear God. We thank you for just continuing to show us the way that we ought to live, dear Father, and even in the midst of the distractions that we may face on a daily basis, dear God, we ask that you help us to fix our focus on you, dear God, to keep our focus on you in and throughout the things that we go through and throughout the things that we face, dear God, but also to look around and be a blessing to others as well. We thank you, dear Father, for this ministry. We thank you for our leader, dear God, and we thank you for everyone that's assembled here. We ask that you will just continue to keep us connected in the body of Christ, dear God, and continue to help us to spread love to one another and also to you, dear God. We thank you and we praise you on this morning. We pray and ask all these things in the precious name of your darling son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Y'all have a great day, and we'll see y'all later on this evening. Okay, we got a whole fresh word, a new word going on this evening, so make sure you call in this evening. We'll see y'all at 8 p.m., and then we'll see y'all, well, 8 p.m. tonight. We're going to leave it right there. See y'all then.
All right. Bye-bye.